What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to FP Presents White Caps, Three Questions. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
Well, it's Whitecaps, three questions, one of three undefeated Canadian teams to start the season. I'm looking forward to this one. We have Craig Forrest here, as per usual. Hey, Craig.
Hey, Sharms. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, mate. As well as I was last time we did a podcast about 4 hours ago. See, yeah, this guy a lot.
I haven't moved.
Me neither. I'm being stuck down here fixing this bloody studio. Anyway, I'm here. I'm Shams. Asa Raymond is here, of course, as per usual, as well, from AM 730. Hey, Asa.
Hey, good to be here. And it seems like you're in a different spot every time we do these shows. So
I know. I'm going to perfect it at some point. I really am. But I'm not good with this kind of stuff, and it's frustrating.
Looking good, Shams.
Well, luckily the light is blasting away my wrinkles right now, so that's good. I look all right. I think it's pretty decent. We got a guest today, boys. Washed up, Craig, is more like it. We got a guest today, a special guest. You people in Vancouver, all you people, will recognize his pipes, of course, from being beside Asa in, of course, the radio booth for Whitecaps games. For those of you familiar with all things Canadian football, you know Colin Miller's name, of course. Over 60 caps for Canada, he captained Canada, and more importantly, a former teammate of Craig Forrest with said Canada. Colin, welcome. Welcome to Footy Prime, three questions for the Whitecaps.
Sharms, it's great to be on the show. Fantastic. It's a privilege to be here. And it was interesting, Craig Forrest saying that he hadn't moved there. I thought it was a fucking league game again there. So
yeah, you failed to mention that Colin actually was a coach of the national team. He stood in for Bob Lenarduzzi, didn't you, for one game, I think it was.
Stephen Hart too, right?
Yeah, it was. I took over from Holger, and then I took over just before Frank got the job, and then I stepped in to cover the Gold Cup down the States before. Oh goodness, who was the Spanish lad that I forgot already?
Oh my God! I'll try Octavio.
Octavio.
I'm glad we've all forgot there.
He wasn't there very long, was he? Octavio Zebrano. That's the one, right?
Yep.
I think that's the one.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll look it up.
I'll take your word for it, Sharms, there for sure. But what a privilege. Yeah, I had 10 games, actually, in charge of the national team. And I did really well. I lost 8 and tied 2. So I was definitely in their thoughts of hiring full-time for sure.
The first game, I think you did, I remember the meeting because you called me out on the first thing. You were like, big man, you need to come for more crosses.
No goalies union. Goalkeeper.
I was like, what the fuck? Hold on a minute. He had this job for 30 seconds.
Because Shams, you asked for a wee story about the big man, and we were getting battered once again down in Mexico. Azteca Stadium. I can't remember if it was a World Cup qualifier or not, Stacks, but there was 130,000 in the stadium at Azteca Stadium. And the big man was punch drunk. I'm not kidding you. He was like Frank Bruno after Mike Tyson had finished him. I played with him for a wee while. And Honest to goodness, the big man makes a save, Sharms. I'm not kidding you. 6'5", the top of his stretch, right into the top corner, and he tips the ball over the bar for a corner. And the lads all come up, what a save, big man, what a save, what a save. And I'm saying, what the fuck? What are you doing? Congratulating him. He's giving away a corner. easily for me, the best goalkeeper we've had in the national team. And we've had some very good goalkeepers in the past. So I don't say that lightly, and I say that with the greatest respect. But the saves the big man made, what a career he had in England as well. I'm his biggest fan, and always pumping his tires. I've got another wee funny story. I can remember, if you don't mind, I know we're talking about the Whitecaps here, but I'm on a roll here.
Go ahead.
But it was the big man, and as Stacks will tell you, the time that we were together with Bob Leonarduzzi and Alan Errington running the show with the team was a special time. It was a great group of guys, and you know, we had the occasional cerveza just for medicinal purposes. It was and this one night we were out, and we're out for dinner in Toronto, and I'm sitting across from Stacks, and I see this fantastic watch that he's wearing. And I says, big man, that is a hell of a watch. What is that? And he said the name of the watch that it was. And I said, oh, fantastic. I says, let's have a look at it. So he passes the watch across to me, and my hand nearly hit the table, the weight of this thing. I said, oh, beautiful watch, fantastic. And then I can't remember what he told me the price was. I don't want to blow it up too much, but I says, oh, that's a fantastic watch. I says, oh, and I'm looking at my watch. Now, I've got a 7-pound plastic Casio watch on my wrist as well. So I says, look at that, big man, that's got the same time as my watch on it. Oh, fantastic. And I says, is it waterproof, his watch? And he goes, oh, of course it's waterproof. I says, aye, but has yours got a light on it? Oh, geez, that was brilliant. It was always a privilege to get together with the guys. It was absolutely wonderful, great group of people, and I think, you know, we were underrated at times, Stacks, because the guys, it was just a group of players that got it, Sharms. It was just a group of guys that got it. They understood what was required when we got together, and some great games, some great memories. You know, one game away from the World Cup in the States as well, so. We were that close, and I'm broken hearted because I missed the one qualifier because I pulled my hamstring the week before in El Salvador, so I didn't get the chance to play against Mexico in Toronto, unfortunately. But it was a privilege to be around those guys and Bobby and Alan and the rest of the staff.
Yeah, that was one of the most. That was, well, I would say it was the most heartbreaking result, just considering that we had to win the CONCACAF qualifying. Yeah. There was only one automatic spot, and we obviously knew we were up against it against Mexico, because with it being in the United States in 94, FIFA did not want Mexico not being there. I mean, you might as well have it in Mexico if you have it in the States. So there was they sell a lot of jerseys, and it was even odd at the time that we had a German referee came over to referee the game. It was the only time I could ever remember that there's a foreign referee came over out of the blue to ref that game. And yeah, we went 1-0 up, and yeah, the half spot, well, what was it? It was called a quarter spot, so it wasn't exactly only one spot, it was 1.25. So then we had to go play Australia. Oh well, we played them in Edmonton, we won 2-1, lost 2-1 down there, and then lost on penalties. But if we beat them, we'd have to play Diego Maradona in Argentina, and then if we beat them, then we were in the World Cup. So yeah, that game against Mexico was really an opportunity. And the disappointing thing too, Colin, going looking back then, that we very rarely, if any, maybe the Brazil game at Edmonton, that we played in front of a really hardcore pro-Canadian crowd.
Yeah, I agree, big man, because if you played El Salvador, Jamaica, Honduras, wherever it was across the country, it would say, okay, let's play Spot the Canadian tonight, because we were so vastly outnumbered in the crowd. And when we went to Edmonton, it went polar opposite. We were surrounded by Canadian fans for the most part, and the team was very well received there. But you're right, Stacks. It was a time when we were the always outnumbered, I would have said, in the support, for sure.
And this and the CSA wanted a bumper crowd, regardless of who was in the audience in the crowd, because they wanted to make some money out of the game, pay some of the bills. So they would literally have, like, for a Jamaica game in Swangard Stadium, they had a steel band, limbo dancers. They were unbelievable. Like the Jamaican, like, it was reggae music pumped everywhere, and like it was like a home game for Jamaica. Music was great, dancers were great, steel band was amazing. But I mean, come on.
Yeah. Felt right at home, didn't they?
Yeah. Well,
staying on this national team theme, Colin, Mauro Biello, of course, just released his most recent squad yesterday. He's interim manager still for one of the biggest games outside of World Cup qualifying in recent memory for Canada against Trinidad to qualify, of course, for Copa and play Argentina in the opening match. For someone that's been interim manager of Canada, I mean, how difficult is that? Obviously, it comes with different challenges to having the job full time, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it's. I think it's less difficult for Mauro, with the greatest respect, who I have the utmost respect for. I think he's a terrific fella. But at least, James, he's been involved with John throughout the whole process. So he knows the players. He knows the system with the CSA. For me, I was very much the outside guy when, I was only there with Holger as a stand-in guy, or coming in as the assistant coach. So I wasn't a full-time CSA staff member by any stretch. In fact, when I took over at the end, I was actually the manager of FC Edmonton. And I went down, I got asked to go down, and Vic Montagliani asked me would I step in again to do the team in the Gold Cup? And I said, yeah, absolutely. But it's not easy, James. It's not easy, but it's up to Mauro and the rest of the staff to do the best they can, because I'm sure, like any football person, who doesn't want to be working at that level? So it's in his interest, selfishly, it's in his interest to do the best he can do. You know, if he gets the result, all of a sudden, well, maybe he's not so bad. Maybe we should give him a chance. It happens at every level of football. You know, somebody comes in as the interim guy and they get a couple of results. Before you know it, they've got the job. So I'm not privy to too much of the CSA stuff anymore, but he must be in their thoughts. Is he going to be the guy? That's beyond my pay scale for sure, but why not give him a chance at least to see if he can do the business, because he's a very experienced manager. He did very well in Montreal for so long, but do we need a high profile guy who's never kicked the ball, never landed here in Canada in any way, shape or form? Do we need that at this stage? Because we've done that before, and that didn't exactly work out well. So someone who knows the players, who gets it, knows the North American landscape as well as the CONCACAF landscape, I think that's very important.
Absolutely. Let's get some Whitecaps, shall we?
Sure.
Because Ace is dying to speak.
Yeah. Something. No, I'm actually enjoying this too. This is great.
It's great, actually. We will. Remind me that before we end today, we must ask Colin why he's called Spike, because Craig couldn't remember last show. Remember, we got to find out. So if I forget, please let me know. All right. So first question, Colin, we'll start with you. Ryan Gold's been talking to the BBC this last week or so. He's talking about that stint he had at Hibs in Scottish football. And he said that Scottish football doesn't really suit me. He said he struggled to get involved and struggled to make an impact there. Now, he's obviously one of the more talented players in MLS these days. Someone that's played both in North America and MLS, you've played obviously in Scotland as well. Why did Scottish football not suit him?
It's a good question. And I actually read the article on the BBC, James. I could see now if someone like Ryan Gold, so I've done a few pieces for the Scottish press because of Ryan, or through Ryan. So I'm well aware. I've been on the radio for about 4.5 seasons now with the Whitecaps, so I'm very familiar with what they're doing. I don't think there's a manager in the MLS that would not take Ryan Gold on their team. I don't think there's a manager that would turn him down. He's been so influential for the Whitecaps. Why he doesn't suit Scottish football, I think anyone other than the famous Glasgow Rangers and that the other team from Glasgow, if you're not from and did you notice my cup, guys? I just thought I would.
Oh, for those listening, it's a Rangers mug.
So I think if he were to go to any of the Old Firm, I think he may have had a different answer there, or a different opinion, because obviously you're going to another big club. With the greatest respect to Hibernian, I played for Hearts for time, and that's the local derby there in Edinburgh, of course, massive derby. If he had gone to Rangers or Celtic, they're going to have more of the football. When you go below those teams, they're always it's a bit of a dogfight, the type of football that we played. And it's still the same. I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I haven't missed a Rangers game for years. And it's still, whenever you get to see some of the other teams coming in, it's damage limitation. Like most countries in the world, there's the top two or three, and then everybody's hanging on for dear life not to get relegated. You get, if you had more of the ball, more of, big crowds that are pushing them on, I think he may have had a different opinion. But the fact that he's the type of player that he is, he may have been missed out playing for Hibs, and unless they played him as a winger or whatever. And I've said to Ace on air a few times, there were times when Goldie was, not as prominent as we'd like to see him, because he was all over the place. And I think, well, just to get him in the game, just keep him one area so that when we win it, we can at least find him. We know consistently where he is. I think that that would have been a big factor in it for sure. The physicality, and to be fair, Ryan Gold does more than his fair share for the Vancouver Whitecaps from the defensive side of things. But there's a different mentality back home, and I'm sure Stacks will back me up here, that it's a bit light and fluffy in the MLS compared to the Scottish Premier League or any of the English Championship. As well, would he survive in those sort of leagues as well? The jury could be out as well, because he's such a talented player that, it would be operation. Yeah, let's focus on Ryan Gold so he doesn't get the football. But that's probably the reason why, James, is that he wouldn't be as involved as much as he is with the Whitecaps, because of the physicality, because of the type of football. It's very direct at times. Although it's not just Scud missiles, I don't want to be disrespectful to the Scottish Premier League. It's not just Scud missiles up the park, but
that was your old nickname,
Scud. No, that was Frank's. That was Frank's. Oh, he had the Adidas stand finders on, didn't he? I'm going to say that because I'm going to beat him to that line, because I'm sure he'd use that on me for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Actually, speaking of Rangers, you scored against Rangers. I remember the goal. And you didn't celebrate. I know that's how much you love Rangers. And you did not celebrate. And if I remember rightly, the ball went under the wall. They jumped.
Yeah, it did. And I remember
you scuffed
that.
It.
No. I actually, a lot of the lads had just come back from Scotland. There was a time when Rangers and Celtic made up all this national team. And they had just come back. And the tendency at that time was for the wall to jump. And it was Ali Maxwell that was in goal for Rangers. And it was a bit of a distance out over to the left-hand side. I was playing for Hearts at the time, and we knocked Rangers out of the cup. And I just thought, oh, I'm going to smash this and keep it low as much as I can. So believe it or not, Stacks, I actually did mean it. And lo and behold, the wall did jump, and it went underneath them into the bottom corner. And then I turned and went, oh, my God. My dad was at the Rangers Supporters Club in Vancouver watching. Oh, God, I'll never get out of here alive. In fact, he was there with my mum. And he said bad words under his breath. He goes, what's he doing? And I just ran back. And it's interesting because we beat Rangers 4-2, I think it was, that night. And all the Hearts scorers that night for the Jambos were all ex-Rangers players. So, and then we come into the dressing room afterwards, and Tommy McLean was a famous Glasgow Rangers legend, was the manager. And some of the Edinburgh guys said, listen, I won't say what they said, of course, there's probably women watching this as well, and gentlemen. And they said, we want him fine because the wee bugger didn't celebrate. And Tommy just turned around and leave him alone. So that was all it was, because once you've been a Ranger, you're always a Ranger.
It is incredible. I remember Ipswich Town went up to year before I was there. They went up to play against Rangers, and Johnny Work was playing for Ipswich at the time, and he scored two beauties, and Ipswich won 2-0. And he was in the players' lounge, and he had a bunch of family there. He had 20 family there come to the game, and he walked in, and not a single one of them talked to him.
Yeah, It was the same with my brother. He came over. He was at Tynecastle that night, and he just went, "Oh, okay, hi, how you doing?" It was unbelievable. Oh,
it really is. It's a different world.
Just a different world altogether. You could never compare anything to to what it's like for the old firm.
I like the scuffing under the wall story better, though.
Yeah, of course you do.
They all count, I guess, don't they? They all count. I didn't score very many in my career, so I'm going to take credit for it. At least it wasn't an old goal.
Yeah, they always get better, don't they? As time goes on, they always get better and better and better, right?
I think it was about 40 yards out, if I'm not mistaken.
Top left.
It started on the ground and then went top left.
That's right, yes.
I will ask you, how good or how far do you think Gold can go? Do you think is he just been surprised that he hasn't been part of the Scottish national system yet?
I, you know, his timing is unbelievable, Stax, because it's probably the strongest Scottish team that we've had for a long, long time. We're going into games now where the expectation is for Scotland to win. And there was a time when we weren't as strong. You know, it was not but Stevie Clark has done a fantastic job with Scotland, a very, very well-respected coach and manager. But the depth of squad we have, I mean, there are players playing in the English Premier League, we've got young Lewis Ferguson playing so well in Italy at the moment. He's to go to Juventus probably in the summertime for millions of pounds. So we've got a real depth of squad. There's also the other part, and you know yourself, Stax, that the managers are pretty loyal to players who have done them a good turn. And I think some of those attacking players that Scotland have had, Goldie's going to find it difficult to break into that squad. I mean, I was just on a website that was speaking about Ryan Gold or who should get an opportunity in this next series of games in the friendlies and so on. And Ryan Gold's name came up in three or four of those people recommending people to get a chance. So maybe he will get a sniff, big man. I don't know. I'd love to see it. Selfishly, I'd love to see it because it'd be great for the Whitecaps and it'd be great for Ryan. He certainly, his play MLS-wise has merited it, but it's always the case, out of sight, out of mind. And the fact that the Whitecaps now are for us, I'm sure Asa will back me up here, now are MLS, get playoff regulars, hopefully, rather than being down the bottom end chasing that last MLS playoff position. Now, for me, I got to say that we should be looking into the top four in the MLS West.
Yeah.
Well, so let's focus on that. I mean, listen, last season, the first road win came, I think, on June 24th or something. It's a long time. It's deep into the season, right?
Yeah.
And they already have one. Is there, I know it's two games in, but is there a different feel? You said before the season began, you sensed there was something different this year. Do you sense it even more now?
Yeah, I wouldn't put it solely on that. I think that when you look at that road win, which was tough for them to get prior to that, they basically went a full calendar year between wins away from home. And I think that started to weigh on the team. I think that the team has matured. So that'd be the main takeaway. They feel a little bit more mature. After they picked up that road win in June, they won four of the next six away from home. So, you know, they kind of caught fire and got the monkey off the back in that respect. So I think that the team has matured and they're more comfortable in these environments. San Jose, this was, I think, a winnable game for them as well away from home. But they took the opportunity as well. They played that one perfectly away from home, kept it defensive, kept it tight, didn't allow much for San Jose in the first 45 minutes, and they made the adjustments in the second half. The substitutes looked incredible, including Ali Ahmed and Alessandro Schoff both getting on the score sheets. So they provided a spark for the team going forward. And they did the job, as Colin Miller mentions pretty much every week. When we're talking about games away from home, you're not there to entertain. You're there to do a job, and they did exactly that. So I think that the team has matured a little bit, but comparing the club to last year, I do think that the quality is similar. The style of play is similar. I think they had a decent start last year when it comes to the product on the pitch. They just weren't getting the results early on. It's nice that they're actually getting the results. And I guess there's something to be said about that, is that you do have to see it over the line. The first four or five games last year looked pretty good, but they didn't pick up that win until week six. So it's one thing to look good on the park. It's another thing to actually pick up the full 3 points. And that might be the biggest difference now with the maturity, the understanding of what it takes to get it done, to get the points, especially away from home. That might be the biggest difference. But on the park, on the pitch, the way they play, I mean, it was a slower start in that San Jose game. And then it kind of came to in the second half. I still think that they have a few things they want to iron out. They want to get a little bit more consistent in the attacking third. They want to improve in that area. So there's some work to do here for the Vancouver Whitecaps, but maybe, yeah, they've improved in the maturity and in understanding how they need to win.
Well, you know, Colin, what it's like when you're struggling or you had a bad time getting away records or goals and points away from home last season, and you get off to that start, no matter how you get the result, it's going to give you a bump. And they did, I do believe that they lost both games to San Jose last year, didn't they? I think they did the double on Vancouver, so they struggled against them. And
yeah,
on this 50-year anniversary for both these clubs that played in the opening game in 1974,
yeah,
pretty special actually. I thought that was pretty cool, as well as picking up the points. But you know what it's like; it's always good to pick up points away from home early.
Yeah, I agree with what Asa was saying. I also think that there's a lot of continuity, guys, from last season to this season. So there was a time at the Whitecaps, and I mentioned this on air, where there was one year there were 16 changes from within your squad. Now, how in the world are you meant to build a squad and a team chemistry if they're making wholesale changes like that? The Whitecaps haven't done that. They've brought in some experience, they've brought in some talented young lads as well, but not 10 or 12 players. So the core of the group is together. And they now, even with the manager, there's a bit of stability there now. They signed an extension there. So there's a lot of good things moving forward for the Whitecaps. And, you know, I know we'll get to young Ali Ahmed later on, but some of the talent, I mean, I thought in Saturday's game past there against San Jose, the first half was a game of giveaway for both teams. You know, it was just a very early season. I mean, we're only the second game in there on Saturday, of course. So it wasn't about being fluent and silky, you know, that type of thing. But what was really evident was how well the team was organized. So if you're not going to score a lot of goals, you're going to make sure that you're not getting beat. And that seemed to be a really positive outset right from the start, was that they had set their stall out to be very difficult to beat. And it was unforced errors that was breaking it down for the Whitecaps in the first half, and probably even the first 55 minutes, Asa. You know, the second half we didn't start well either, but all of a sudden the substitutions came in and the game changed. The entire mindset, the Whitecaps kicked on, and you couldn't see Stacks, you couldn't see San Jose doing the same. You couldn't see them going and matching the level, the pace of the players that came on, the energy and enthusiasm of the players that came on. So it was a well-deserved 2-0 road win. It was and at the end, it was quite an emphatic win. You know, it wasn't a fluke by any stretch. The Whitecaps were full value for that 2-0 win.
Has that been a strategy of the club to keep this group together rather than, you know, make those changes that perhaps you've seen in the past, and let's gel them, let's build them, and let's grow together?
Yeah, I think that's been a big difference here for the last little while, is the commitment, as Colin had mentioned, returning this core, and it's right down this mind. I think I talked about this a few weeks ago with you guys, but that Brian White, Ryan Gold, Andres Kubas, Ranko Veselinovic, Tristan Blackman, even that core is very strong, and they're the first names on the team sheet, right? And you know what you're going to get from all those guys. I think that's one thing that we've come to know and love here with the Vancouver Whitecaps and covering and calling these games, is that you're always going to get a strong performance at the baseline from all of those guys. And that consistency, I think, is really contributed to the recent success of the club. And even after that first draw, knowing that these guys are coming back in the lineup, there's no question about their availability and then their ability to perform on a weekly basis. When I talk about that core in particular, I think that's been one of the strengths of this team, and that's what they're hoping can put them into the playoffs. And one thing we've talked about as well is not just getting into the playoffs, but being a top four team in the West.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
On match day, Colin, do you feel that it's Michael D'Agostino's team and that he gets to do what he wants to do, or is this still very much Fanny Sartini's team, even on match day?
Yeah, that's a good question, James. And I've been in that boat before, where I was sent off for FC Edmonton against the Whitecaps in Edmonton. I said bad words on the sideline. Me Camilo was like Greg Louganis in the box as usual, and earned himself and the Whitecaps a penalty. So I was not very happy with that, as you could imagine. Eventually, I could relate to it, but Vanny went into this in quite a bit of detail in our chats that we have with him, that, you know, there's so many sessions, or so much goes into each training session, that Mike D'Agostino was a very talented young coach. He did great work in North Vancouver, and is very, very highly thought of within the organization. So it's not as if he's totally out of his depth there by any stretch of the imagination. He's doing a great job, and is very loyal to Vanny as well. So there's a good chemistry between the two of them, James, where, you know, it's you could see, I mean, Mike looks very calm on the outside, but I'm sure his things are he's reinforcing everything that they've worked on during the week. He's not going to come in and go, oh, by the way, we're going to play with the back four today if they've worked with the back three. There will be instances, I would imagine, where as a coach or as a manager, you have to make a split second decision to change things until you maybe get some word from up top. There may be that occasion, and that's when your football mentality comes in. But I think the fact that they work very, very closely together during the week, Vanny said as soon as they get to San Jose that you know, they would be going through again the what if scenario, where, you know, what if this happens, what if this happens, and there'll be a whole host of situations that will have been covered during the week, if not on the field, but certainly within the staff, so that it certainly, from where Asa and I are looking, it certainly looked very seamless, and it looked to everything was well under control there. So it was a great job done by everyone.
Let's get into our final question now. And you mentioned that Ali Ahmed, he made the bench on the MLS Team of the Week. That great goal he scored off the bench for Vancouver. Now, I know he's coming back from hernia surgery, but when do you think, Asa, he'll become once again a surefire starter in that Vancouver midfield?
Yeah, I think we could see it this week. He's just inching closer, and it's all about match fitness. That's been the only question mark. Vanny mentioned this a couple weeks ago, that he looks great. There's no holding him back at training. It's just a matter of getting up to game speed and getting up to match fitness. And you see the difference that he makes when he's on the pitch. So I wouldn't be surprised if he gets into the starting 11 against Dallas this week. I know it's away from home, so that might play into it a little bit. But at the same time, he gives them so much going forward. And you have to start to wonder, the slowish start that Colin and I were mentioning, the first 50, 55 minutes where, you know, they're just not, they don't have a stranglehold on the match. He provides something that's completely different. He's their best player when it comes to just progressing up the park and creating opportunities for the attack. He's the most exciting player to watch on the club right now. Wouldn't be surprised if he at least sees more minutes, but is in the starting 11 this week. And then he's a regular starter for this team going forward, because he's so dynamic. He's so integral to the way they want to build up and play throughout the pitch. He's probably their best attacking option. Not taking anything away from Ryan Gold, but he comes a little bit deeper. He can pick up the ball and carry it forward and start things, and then really draw players in. And that frees up Ryan Gold and Brian White as well. So he's the most exciting player to watch. And I think I talked about it last week or a couple weeks ago, that he's on the verge of a breakout performance. And he had that breakout year last year where we got to know who he is. I think this is the year where we get to see that he is one of the best at what he does in the league. And we got a glimpse of it last week.
How many weeks ago did he have his surgery, Asa?
He had it months ago now. I believe it was in December. So it was, the recovery and the off season's kind of planned out to be ready for the start of the season, but ahead of schedule as well. I wasn't sure if he'd be available for the first couple of weeks, but yeah, able to play and contribute.
I take it was a sports hernia, right? Like,
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Did you ever have one of those, Spike?
Yeah, I had two actually.
Yeah, me too.
Whole site's done, and it's an overuse injury. So I don't know how the hell you had yours done, but
well, you know what it was from? It was from because nobody ever showed for the ball, so I had to freaking lash the ball 80 yards every single time because you guys were all like, all I could see was the numbers on your back. You didn't want any part of having the ball.
It was a different time, wasn't it?
Oh, it's brilliant.
But I was in Jamaica and it was fucking 100 degrees. It was so humid and the pitch was terrible. Remember how bad the pitch was? So I was all covered from head to toe, from my bottoms on, everything else. It was so hot. And I remember lashing late in the game and I went to lash it and I could just feel it go.
Exactly. I was playing for Rangers against Celtic in a reserve game and I tackled Alan McAnally. And he's a big beast. They called him Jake. And I remember the two of us, it was just head down, right? It's game on here. And the two of us, the ball popped up in the middle and I just felt something go in my middle area there. And it became a sports hernia. It took a long time to diagnose it, to be fair, but it was not pleasant getting it done. But just going back to Ali Ahmed, there are very few players that I've seen, Stacks, that sort of get me out of my seat to watch when this kid is in possession of the football. I had the privilege of working a little bit with Alfonso Davies when he was in the FC Edmonton Academy. He came through our system.
That's right. Yeah,
he came in through our system, and Jeff Paulus deserved a great deal of credit for the work that he did with Fonzie at that time. And Fonzie got people out of their seats. This kid is sort of doing the same thing. As Asa said there, there are very few players who are capable of running past players. And I tell you, look at his legs wouldn't do a postman a shift. You know, it's not the air of a guy by any stretch, but his change of pace and his running is effortless, but he can do it in possession of the football. And it doesn't matter going outside or inside. The kid is, I think, has got so much talent. I don't want to build him up too much to put so much pressure on, but he is a potential game changer for the Whitecaps. Whitecaps have played him wide. Selfishly, I would play him through the middle. I think he would have more of an impact there, but it's a joy to watch him. It's just absolutely a joy to watch him. And I agree with Asa. I think it'll be impossible if he keeps playing this way. It'll be impossible to keep him out of the team. I think he's just going to have to be a regular fixture in that starting lineup for the Whitecaps. And I wouldn't want to play against him, Stacks, because he just keeps going at you all the time.
Yeah, the goal he took was absolutely brilliantly taken.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Yeah, I've never heard of a goal like that being scored and being on the subs bench, did you say, Sharms, this week?
Yeah, the MLS All 11, whatever they call it these days. Yeah, Team of the Week.
I thought you mentioned he was going to be a sub on the team.
No. I think he's a sub on the Team of the Week. I guess they have subs. Right. They can't just pick 11.
Subs.
Any hernia stories you want to regale?
No, I got nothing for you, but I do have to remind you about this spiky tale he's got to tell. And we obviously listened to the pregame show on AM 730, so you heard that we addressed it right off the top, gave Footy Prime a shout-out as well. And, Colin Miller.
You did? Oh, nice. I want to hear that.
Of course. Come on, don't act surprised. I know you listened.
It's not a great story at all, Charles. Not a great story. It's just a bad haircut. That's all it was. It just,
I thought it might be.
There was, I think there was a guy that played for the New York Cosmos called Jeff Durgan. I think that was his name. He's a centre back, Ace. I couldn't remember the lad's name. I think it was Jeff Durgan. And I thought, I'd like to look like him. I was only 17 at the time. So, yeah, I've got the head, you know, shaved off here, just spike hair, and the dodgy back bit. So it was a bit of a mullet. The name Spike, I think it was probably Neil Roberts, who was a South African centre forward for the Blizzard at the time. I think it was Big Bird who gave us that nickname, and it stuck. It stuck. It was just with me all the time. And then I hadn't heard it for a wee while, and all of a sudden the guy started calling me when I came back to to Canada after the football career. But yeah, not a great story, but and it wasn't.
It's a bit disappointing. It's a bit disappointing, to be honest with you. Yeah, but you know, it's funny. I'm envisioning this because and Craig will agree with this. We have Jeff Cole, JC, who's also part of Footy Prime. He does all the magic behind the scenes, but also is a big part of the shows as well. He's got this little dog, right? Like a little Yorkie called Biggie, and he had a haircut. And Biggie had this mullet. He had a mullet cut. And he put it on Instagram, what, about 2 weeks ago now, Craig? And yeah, there's almost 8 million views on this thing now.
Unbelievable.
To the point where he's being approached from media companies in the States to kind
including
of
Footy Prime. We're going to try and bring him on, but he's gone all big time on us. Oh, and he's hanging out with all the big, big dogs out in Los Angeles.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
A dodgy haircut would get me 8 million views. I think I'd have a little
bit. I know, right? You're never too late. You can try it, you know?
Yeah,
you
I got plenty it. Of pictures.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. But my daughter used to say, "Dad, your hair never moves." I said, "Yeah, just unzip it at night, put it on the lamp, then zip it back on in the morning."
Yeah, I could only wish.
That's great. That's great. Ace, anything else you want to mention regarding Whitecaps before we say farewell?
No, I just want to make sure that everyone tunes into our pregame show. We've had a lot of great guests. We had Jimmy Eason Sr. ahead of the last match against San Jose, and Tulsa and Ricketts joining us for the opener. So a lot of great guests for the 50th year anniversary. And yeah, quick plug for our broadcast on AM 730. You can check it out online. I'll tweet about it. So yeah, give me a follow and listen to our pregame, match day coverage, and postgame show as well.
You know, I did try this weekend to get AM 730 here in Toronto for the Whitecaps game. It didn't work. I think it's some religious station out here. So
okay, I'll share the feed for you.
Can you please?
I guess that's how radio works. You can't just dial.
No, you can't.
Go to the AM 730 dial wherever you are.
Is it online somewhere?
I'll give you the online link.
Okay.
Yeah. Follow me on Twitter and then I'll share it.
Okay. Oh, no, it's okay. Yeah, right.
Before we were coming on, I was looking for a Colin Miller shirt, but I never got one because he was too tight. He wouldn't give any fucking shirts away. But I did find an old Score one. Look, Colin.
Look at that.
Wow.
That is unbelievable.
That's a thick Score fabric, right? Isn't it? That's the one. Is it, Craig? Like it's thick, thick cotton?
Yeah. No, it's cotton.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
110% polyester. Yeah. And we used to wear this at Azteca. Look at this stuff.
There were some dodgy strips, Stacks. Eh? There were some dodgy strips during that time.
And there, actually, there's your autograph down there.
Oh, is it? Oh, God. Oh, yeah, there it is. Yeah, I see it.
There it is.
Joint writing as well. So clever boy.
Wow, that's and it hasn't faded yet. It's that old, but it hasn't faded. That's in good Sharpie.
Yeah, I'm telling you. And it's also number 10, so it's like...
Yeah.
So who was wearing that one, Craig?
It might have been Bunbury's, but he probably wasn't there or something.
Was it Pesh? Maybe Pesh,
Toledo.
Yeah, maybe Pesci. Yeah, it's an extra small boy, so it would be Pesci.
Yeah, he was a bit of a traffic cone, wasn't he? He used to call me Big Colin. You look over my shoulder here, Stacks, you'll see the team photograph of that game I was referring to in Azteca with 130,000 in it.
Yeah.
You get the dodgy gloves on it like that there. And
that's right.
Beside that is the print that I have of the home of the famous Glasgow Rangers. So Glasgow Rangers in the 60s. So, yeah, takes pride of place here.
Some guy approached me in the hotel from Voigt.
Voigt, yeah.
Voigt gloves. Voigt. I thought they made volleyballs. But anyway, he said, give me a couple thousand US for if I wore them. I remember Bobby going, are you sure? Like, I never wore them before? And I was like, it is so dry in Mexico City. You didn't even need gloves. Like, you could wear anything.
Yeah, yeah.
My hands were like sand, like a fly paper anyway, right, Colin?
Yeah, I'm not getting involved in that, big man.
Colin, thank you so much for this, mate. Really enjoyed it. We'll get back on the show at some point. You and Craig are just to regale stories for a long time, I think.
That was great stuff. Really enjoyed it, guys. Great to see you.
Yeah, it was awesome. Brilliant. Thanks a lot. Yeah. Thanks, Colin.
That's Colin Miller. Guys. That's Asa Raymond, as always. Thanks, mate. We'll chat again next week. Craig, I'll speak to you probably in about another 3 hours. I hope you enjoyed that, everyone. That's Whitecaps Three Questions. Make sure you check all our stuff out on wearefootyprime.com and subscribe and like on all your regular social channels and, of course, YouTube, Apple iTunes, and Spotify. Bye.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV and by Tony Bett. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
That was great, Colin. Thanks, mate. Fantastic.
Yeah, thanks, fellas. That was really good.
Colin's with that. That's excellent. Well done, boys.
What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show. Oh.